Blog Talk Radio.
All mechanical creation, all images of enslavement and imprisonment, all rage and anger of death and hell and the murder and the murderer's intent, the confusion of masculine and feminine roles, all portrayal of sexual perversion, including homosexuality and lesbianism, sympathy for Satan and the sorrows of Satan, association with the Nephilim and spacecraft, all perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and breakdancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
Tonight, I know
Last week I made a new video on heaven and going home, and I've spent a lot of my time during my ministry over the years trying to waken up the truth about heaven to people. You know, we get such boxed-in views, just people sitting around harps, sitting around bored in pastures, waiting for the loved ones to arrive. It's vastly different than most people can imagine. And so that's what I try to teach, because, you know, you get glimpses of it reading Enoch or reading the Bible, and I guess it's the little things that are said that mean so much that people just don't grasp. And so I like to grasp the little things. I like to understand things around us. Of course, everybody else just thinks you're crazy. But that's always how the best truths start, you know? The best one starts with, you're not going to believe this. Well, you're going to think I'm crazy. So those are usually the best truths. And yeah, there's always people who do, but then there's people who just understand you and click with what you're saying and don't even know why. You know? Because the Father clearly talks about two groups of people, two groups of believers in the last days. One group called the elect and the other group called the bride. And some people want to think it's all one group, but it's not. It's the elect are part of the bride, but the elect outrank the bride. They're above the bride. And the reason being is because they were the ones from heaven sent to be born on earth. And when they leave earth, they go back to him. The bride are those who follow him on earth, become his bride on earth. And so, clearly two different groups of people, folks. And so I've tried to teach you who these elect are over the years. And it's always something I've had to be careful with, because they become targeted. They become very targeted. You know, Satan wants to know who the elect are. He pretty much has the bride drowning in all of his apostasies in the churches. He pretty much dominates the bride today. But there's one group of warriors he can never dominate, and he's always warring against. And that's the elect. Because the elect know how he works. And the elect aren't your typical church pew Christians. A lot of them are, but most of them are just... their knowledge is more expansive. They probably don't go along with a lot of mainstream religion. They're a big peculiar group, because they know how it is. They know what's up. And the bride usually hates them. And so it's really, really difficult not to spend a lot of time in fights, in doctrinal wars against them. You know, the bride always thinks the elect's apostate, because we don't go along with mainstream thought, mainstream ideas, mainstream religions. We don't go along with any of that, because we sit at the Father's feet and learn what the truth is directly from him. And he's not telling any of us to go sit in the Church of Babylon. You know, you start asking the Lord for the truth in all things, he tells you to get out of the churches. He's not in them. The bride's fool. They're in there, but he's not. And that's one of the big things that the bride has to go through, is a time of sanctification and purification, because they're just so full of garbage that he's going to have to sift the garbage out so his light can shine through them. But don't tell them that. The war is on. And, you know, the last thing the Father wants is his kids fighting, spending a lot of time fighting and arguing. And so I refuse to get into arguments in terminology wars and doctrinal wars and anything else with the bride. You know, I just don't. I just, you know, he doesn't want his kids fighting. We should all be united to fight against our common enemy, which is Lucifer himself. Not making videos about whose ministry you don't like. Satanists do that. Satanists and the Brotherhood and all of them connected with the Illuminati and Lucifer, they do that. They make videos about other ministers online. And so that's clearly why I don't even do it. Now, if somebody is clearly not even human and posing, and which is dominant in the churches today, so I don't even fool with that anymore. You would expose them. But there's so many videos out there already. The Father will raise somebody up. Like, I've seen a lot of videos going up about Joel Osteen and a bunch of others shape-shifting. And that's typical, you know, for people to wake up and say, hey, look, this person's not even human. You know, they're shape-shifting. Look at their eyes. You know, I've spent a long time, a lot of years, trying to teach people the fact that humans were being invaded from within. We were being taken over. I'd always taught about an invasion of fallen angels, and it had already been taking place practically when the Lord had stood me up to start teaching about it. You know, it was dominant. And now I get these mails, these letters in the mail, and emails from listeners who are telling me about the towns they live in, and how the humans just aren't even human there anymore. They've been taken over. And so, very dominant, very, very much going on. Because Satan's not going to show his face on Earth until he knows there's going to be total dominant acceptance of him. And the way to do that is to dominate the humans on Earth. And he already does that. You know, I always knew it was taking place in the Middle East for a long time, cloning people, replacing people. I had been told by my Washington contacts that had been going on for a long time, and that one of the reasons they would focus on the Middle East is because they could hide them easier. A lot of these women in the Middle East, they have their heads covered, they wear big jewelry, and so when they clone people, they tend to have numbers, markings on them, on the backs of their necks or on their wrists. And so these numbers could be hid. The women could hide these numbers very easily with the jewelry and the head coverings. And the reason they would do the women so much is because the men could have sex slaves without having to deal with the women having family elsewhere, you know, just a total sex slave at the house, you know. And the reason they do the men is because they can turn the men into any kind of monster they want to, you know. It gives these demons who roam the earth and beings who roam our skies, it can give them a body to operate out of. And so, you know, a lot of people, they call aliens demons. And, you know, demons dwell on the earth. They don't dwell in the skies. What dwells in the skies are fallen angels and their offspring, and their created offspring. You know, they've been tinkering around with creating races for years. The small grays is a prime example of that. They've been crossbreeding. Satan has never stopped trying to create his own human, his own man. You look at the Neanderthals and all these different earlier, what they call caveman types, and they're not the fathers. They were Satan's creations. And so, you know, Satan will never be able to duplicate, creating a man or a woman because it was the Father's breath. When he breathed into the nostrils, into Adam's nostrils, and gave him breath of life, put his DNA into Adam. And that's something Satan cannot duplicate. A truly evil person and being, if you kind of watch them morph, I'm not saying you'll probably ever have the chance, but let me explain it. You could start off with an angel, like Haleel, Lucifer, and he was a shining one, a bright and shining one, leader of the music in heaven. He was a brilliant composer. And then all of a sudden become filled with pride and start a rebellion in heaven. And so you look at him transform from a beautiful, shining one, shining angel, to just something that is completely ugly and devoid of anything good, anything of light. Because what happens is when you start to go the way of evil, and you start to do evil things, and I'm talking really evil, I'm talking taking the blood of innocents, killing people, murdering people, harming, torturing, drinking blood, all of these ghastly evil things. What happens is all of the light in you, it's like a balloon, it starts to be suffocated. And so you see the countenance of a person change slowly over time from something light to something very dark. And it's because all of that light has depleted out of that person, and there's nothing salvageable, there's nothing good left, there's nothing left of that person. That's the Father. His DNA is no longer in them, his light is no longer in them. And so we saw this happen with Lucifer and the fallen angels, how they could turn from being watchers in heaven and cherubims and angels, great shining ones, into totally evil rogue beings. Well, the same thing happens on Earth. You know, they want to suffocate the God particle that's in each one of us, our God imprinted DNA. They want to suffocate that out of people, and so turning people into evil ogres like they are hasn't gone as easy as they would like it to be. And so they turn to technology like vaccinations and microbots and other types of smart dust and technology to speed up the process of suffocating the light in people, and so it can all be replaced by darkness. You know, and that's a big part of the whole transhumanism agenda, you know, just suffocating anything human out of a human, because Lucifer hates humans. He hates them. I don't know how many times I could say it to make these Illuminists and Satanists and those involved with the Brotherhood realize how much he hates them. Because he shows up at their meetings, and I've seen them from a distance, not involved. The Lord has allowed me to see things. And he shows up and he's charming. You know, he might be looking like the blonde, athletic Lucifer everybody likes, you know, and handsome, good-looking, and he's the cheerleader. He's encouraging them on, he's cheering them on, he's telling them he's coming, a few more things to wrap up that they need to do on Earth to ensure that he can take over, and, you know, he gives them pep talks. He doesn't come as Baphomet. You know, Baphomet is the real depiction of what he is. The ugly ogre statue, they always worship Baphomet. That's not what he arrives as when he speaks to them. And so, but they think he likes them, you know. They think, oh, look, I'm doing all this evil stuff. He's going to like me when he arrives. He's going to put me in charge of something. And that's why they always want to be in positions of power in Washington. That's why they always fight for those positions and roles, so that if and when Lucifer does arrive, they're there. They're already in a position of power. It's kind of like an ego thing for them. And so what they don't realize until it's too late is by the time they get to that level, he's done replacing them. You know, there's a real hideous kind of ranking system that they have. And you have the outsiders and the insiders of the Illuminati. And the outsiders are all the underlings. They're the ones who are climbing up the ranks, and they're working hard to get involved with the inner circle. They want to be one of the inner circle people, you know. And so they go to all their little rituals and do all these evil things that's required of them, and hoping that they can crawl up the ranks and become part of the inner circle, because the inner circle Satanists hate all the underlings. Don't even talk to them. There's not a lot of camaraderie. They hate them. They despise them. As they work up the ranks, and they do all this work and all this time, you know, when you get to that inner circle, there's nothing that awaits them but a soul scalping, because then they're killed. And their souls are replaced by demonic or reptilian beings, gray beings even, and the tall grays, the Lilith offspring. And they're replaced. The soul of the human is killed, and their body is replaced. And as their body ages, because it will age quickly with being possessed and being soul scalped, the heart usually goes, they will start cloning them. And so that's why you have so many different clones of Obama and Hillary and Biden. You know, all these Cheney, Bush, Reagans. There were so many clones. They have been cloning people since Carter. I think he was the first president cloned, and they had 12 of him. They start cloning them. That's why some of them always look young and youthful, handsome, like Obama always does when he's 54 years old. Do you ever wonder why one day you get the youthful, good-looking young Obama, and the next day you see him on TV, he's a 50-year-old dad? I mean, come on, folks. I've been trying to wake you up to all their tricks for years, and at the same time trying to save whatever I could, salvage people from going into the Illuminati or wanting to get in. You know, it's kind of like just been a ministry that I go in various directions. But they're really here, you know, just to lead people back to the Father. I'm not leading you into a religion. I'm not leading you into anything. It's leading you back to the Father. Oh, and by the way, for the elect warriors, we have some more stuff we can do, you know. Energy war against them. Our Orgone war. And so it's really been a multiple-fold ministry, but you know, I've never been afraid of the dark side, and you know, I could try to kill me all they want. It took them 2 weeks to get me in the hospital with a heart attack. I was having it 10 days before I even went into the hospital. I'm just like, are you serious? And I was the first one out of there too. I mean, I just wanted to go home. I know there was a person next to me that was came in a day or two before me, and he was still there when I left. I wanted nothing to do with that place. And they'll keep trying, and I realize this. You know, smitten but not forsaken. You know, that's how Father's warriors are. We get smitten, but we're never forsaken by him. So we've been kind of like in a lull. Everyone's wondering what the heck happened since September. They had all these hype dates, and then nothing happened. And, of course, nobody was more disappointed than me, because I wanted to see something going on. But they've started a new hype train. And And I think I was decided to take a scroll around on the internet earlier, and much to my glee, I guess you could say, because we got to get something going. Nobody wants to sit around here forever, right? I came across this article. NASA confirms Earth will experience 15 days of complete darkness in November 2015. So from November 15th to the 29th, I think this article was saying, yeah, which is the day after Thanksgiving, which would be a real Black Friday, there's going to be 15 days of complete darkness. Now notice it's gone from 3 days in 2012 to 15 days 3 years later. I mean, you know, these aren't prophecies, folks. When I start talking about the hype trains and stuff, I'm talking to you about stuff they're coming up with. September was all stuff they were coming up with. And the Father watches, and he's going to react to what they do. And then he was like, don't even watch them. Just watch for me. And so I haven't been looking at all their little hype trains going on. But November 15th to November the 29th. And because I knew October, if nothing happened in September, October was going to be a quiet month. I knew that. Of course, they've been trying the entire month sacrificing for Lucifer on Halloween, because that's their big date of the month, their big sacrifice date of the year. And if I had succumbed to heart failure, if I had died from it, they would have considered that a huge sacrifice to their god Satan, because I was dead. And they're going after a lot of other people. And it's typically the time kids start missing, adults will start missing, young women, because it's the time of abduction and preparation for their ritual deaths on Halloween. And so keep your kids closer, keep your white and black animals closer. The amateurs will tend to go for animals, the outer groups of Satanists. The top high ones will just send out CIA people everywhere to abduct humans and children. And so big sacrifice dates for the 30th. So that's pretty much all I've been seeing going on in October. I've been watching things coming in. You have watched the spaceweather.com. I get notified by that from people. And the clouds that have been coming in, the different ships coming in. There's a lot of stuff coming in that I can't even explain. I don't know who it is. I don't know what it is. But I know what's coming in. So a lot of hype going on. And, of course, it's cold. So that's their favorite time because, you know, they don't want to fry in the orgone air, and so they want it as cold as possible. And so that's typically when they start to come in, is when the air gets colder. And, you know, at that time, I can't even possibly tell you who half the ships are in the sky belong to. I just have to ask Father when I see them. You know, one of the interesting things, when I made my video last week, I'm going home. I also posted my favorite video of all time, which is Enoch, the final book for the last generation. And if you haven't seen that video, it's not by me. Go to YouTube it, and look for Enoch, the final book for the last generation. This video is about an hour and 22 minutes long, but it's just so awesome, and how it details the book of Enoch and why the churches kept it away, kept it hidden. And one of the reasons they kept it hidden was just so unfathomably stupid. Because the Catholic Church decided in the 4th century, see, the book of Enoch, in Genesis 5:24, it says Enoch was a man who walked with God. And then he was not, because God took him. Enoch never died. He was one of the most holy and righteous men ever on this earth, ever on this planet, besides Yahushua himself, that the Lord took him. The Lord took him. Took him home. He never died. And so studying his life and his writings are fascinating, because even the churches will know, recognize who Enoch was. Oh, he was the man who walked with God. Well, who is he? I don't know. Nobody knows who he is. They know his title. But he was the one to prepare this generation now for the things that are coming upon this generation. And the reason that the church has decided to shush his writings is because Enoch spent a lot of time detailing God, angels, demons, the Nephilim, the supernatural, the paranormal. And the churches didn't want to have anything to do with that, because the churches by then had already adopted the false theology that the sons of God, referred to in Genesis chapter 6, was the sons of Seth. They had already started to twist and spin apostasy when it was actually talking about sons of God as being angels. And what Genesis talks about is a time when the watchers of the earth, the angels, a class of cherubs, descended on earth, left their first estate, which is heaven, and started procreating with human women. And the result was giants on the earth. Giants that have been recorded and found on every continent of this planet, that the churches, even the Smithsonian, have tried to cover up and hide. And the reason the churches wanted to hide it in the 4th century was because, for some reason, it threatened the whole idea that monks would be required to take a vow of celibacy. So they couldn't have angels with the free will to leave heaven and procreate with human women, and then, on the other hand, be having its monks required to take a vow of celibacy. For some reason, that was competing to each other. It was too contrasting. And so they wanted to hide and snuff out the Book of Enoch. Now, the Ethiopians had all the transcripts, manuscripts of Enoch. They were also found in the Qumran cave in the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can read Enoch. You can go to my website and read Enoch. I have it on my website. You can buy a hard copy of Enoch at Amazon, probably. It really is just the one thing that details everything. And when I started to learn about Enoch, I just loved him. I mean, he became my favorite. Everybody has their favorite apostle, right? My was just always Enoch. I loved Enoch. And the Lord stood me up to continue his message in this last generation. And I wasn't even realizing it at the time, because most of my message was dealing with the watchers, the fallen angels, the last days, the invasions that were coming, all the events that were going to be happening. You know, you had Enoch the beginning, and then we're wrapping it up in this generation, pulling it all together and showing people, hey, this is what's coming. And so, really cool the way that worked. So if you haven't seen that video, you should watch it. My video, I just kind of give you an artist rendition look of angels and things like that. I wish I could give you much more in-depth look, but you know, even the people that do videos on Enoch and stuff, they still get on my nerves, because they'll talk about, you know, how angels, the warriors and the hosts and the armies are mostly males. No, they're not. No, they're not. Yeah, there's a lot of males, but there's a lot of women too, because women are not. There are a lot of women angels, probably as many women angels as male angels. They can do what they want. I mean, in heaven, there's no sexism. A woman warrior can work up the ranks as a warrior. You can work up the ranks. Recognize what I said. You can work up the ranks, because there are ranks in heaven. And so there are female angels recorded in Zechariah 5:9. Two women angels talked about. People say there's no female angels. That's just because nobody wrote about them. Doesn't mean they don't exist. I mean, if you were in the first, second, and third heavens, where most of these angels are, plenty of female angels. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things. People get a misconstrued ideas about what heaven is, what heaven is like, based on people's, you know, the limitations of what we have in writing, I guess you could say. The limitations of what we have in writing. Because what I've been dealing with over the last 15 years, when I deal with fallen beings and their offspring, you know, these fallen angels that came down from heaven, these watchers, 200 of them and their hosts, it wasn't just 200 angels, period. They were leaders of hosts of armies each, maybe thousands, tens of thousands, angels underneath them who fell with them, came down to earth, started procreating with human women. These angels who could take on the flesh of women, I don't know why they say that they take on, I guess because they have to say, angels have to take on the appearance of man so they can procreate with human women. That's not true. Angels have the ability to procreate. Okay, and so these angels residing in the first and second heavens while they were making debauchery on earth as well with human women also had their own offspring spread around heaven. And so they would live on various constellations, which Enoch talks about, which I never knew. I never really grasped that before. I knew it was something the Father had taught me a couple of years ago. But the angel Uriel had also taught Enoch the same thing, that these constellations of stars are powers. They're where the powers live, and powers are a rank of angels. And they can be good or bad. And so, you know, we have like 77 constellations, and I've always said they're not stars of balls of gas. They're constellations of different types of beings. You know, it's Big Bear, Little Bear. You got the bear factions, and then you have all these other star planets and systems, and those are, look at the draconian system, Orion. They're draconians and reptilians. They're just everywhere. They're different types of angels, fallen or not, and they're called powers. If a majority of the angels of heaven live in the first and second heavens, where do you think they live? You know, they're not just good, but also the bad. Where do you think they live? They live on these rock-like planets that are all above us. They're vetted out in constellations and single star systems. You know, once you start to realize what it is above us, maybe some of this other stuff can click, you know. There is a fifth dimension around Earth. It's an astral dimension, a spirit dimension. A lot of these angels deal with the humans. They're caught in this dimension. There's a lot of humans caught in the fifth dimension. People who go astral projection, time travel, things like that, can get caught in these other dimensions and they can't get back to Earth. That's because when you leave your body, when your spirit leaves your body, and you go off and leave your body, If you get trapped, you can't come in. Even come back. Even David says something about the silver cord and not being cut asunder. Because when people astral project, they often see themselves attached by a silver cord to their body. And I know this is true because I woke up one night and I happened to be looking down on Earth, and I'm like, what is going on? Like one minute you're sleeping and the next you feel yourself rising and all of a sudden you're looking down on the earth. It's like, whoa, it's cold up here. And I could see that cord. You know, yeah, I was attached to a cord of the earth, and I'm floating, and I'm like, oh. I was like, Yeshua, where are you? And as soon as I said that, I was back in my body immediately. But that would begin, you know, a whole lifetime of these beings trying to drag me off somewhere for some whatever reason, for their own enjoyment or whatever. I don't know. Taught me how to fight. Made me a warrior. So I certainly know it's possible. So that when I started to learn, and the Lord allows these things, so that when you start to learn about various things, you know what's truth and what isn't. And so when you know what's truth, and you can learn and expand on what the truth is, you know. So it definitely is a fifth dimension. I've been talking about it. I know our orgone energy war here on Earth goes into the fifth dimension. And so what was interesting when I was on my little, let's see what's going on, a couple of minutes tonight, I saw this thing about CERN. CERN to make contact with parallel universe in days, and Saturn's Stargate activation begins. Well, the only single parallel universe would be that fifth dimension. And I've talked about the dimensions merging. They've been showing these dimensional photos of cities in China. They look like something out of a Batman movie. But they're just dark and sinister. We've seen those pictures. Some of the cities in the fifth dimension are quite beautiful. I mean, they're vastly lit. I've seen them. So when you see these ones that they're showing online, look what we saw floating over China, and it looks like something out of Gotham City, a Batman movie. It's dark and dreary. It's kind of funny. Maybe that's all they can get on photo because, you know, when we're looking at it from our third dimension. But if you viewed that city and you were in the right dimension, the right frequency, I guess you could say, then you would see it as it really is. You know, when the dimensions merge, I think people would be shocked to see all the cities in the skies because, I've always said this, there's a main dimensional city above every one of our cities in America, let alone around the world. And they're not just, you know, I don't know who built them, probably the angels, fallen or good, and because that's the areas they inhabit. But that's also places as people can go that get trapped. People who never died on Earth, their bodies have probably died by now, but they got trapped in the spirit realm. Also people who died and didn't make it to heaven or hell, but just kind of ended up in limbo, what we call ghosts. A lot of them will end up in these astral cities. Traumatized children who are traumatized by the Illuminati and put in their mind control programs will escape spiritually. Their spirits will escape. Their bodies will still be under torture, but their minds will go. Their spirits will go, and they will be protected in these dimensional cities. So, you know, people that are multiple personality suffer from DID, dissociative identity disorder. Their bodies are operating on Earth, but they're elsewhere. They go to these fifth dimensional cities because you have to be in a spirit body. Spirit, you leave your physical body, you are in spirit form. And so the only other place to go besides the fourth dimension hell is fifth dimension. And so that's the bottom dimension of other than just hell, which is would be like the fourth dimension. The fifth dimension, kind of like a protective barrier that the Father has put for people. And so, huh. So if you start seeing like dimensions merging and more weird stuff coming about, that's because it's kind of like a divide and conquer now. You know, we were being able to reach these other dimensions with our Oregon energy war. And now CERN and this LHC, our Hadron Collider, is able to punch portals through this other dimension as well. And so they're trying to make entrance points for all the beings who have been blocked from accessing Earth. And they're giving them gateways, portals right into Earth, so they can come into Earth. And so, and the Father will allow this. You know, he talks about it in the Book of Revelation. You read Revelation 9 and the locust armies and all that. I mean, this is how they will come through these access points that CERN creates. Now, I know most people think, well, why can't they just descend down to Earth from Mars, from Jupiter, from Venus? There is a protective layering covering over Earth, and there's only certain access points to the Earth through these gateways, which are also called portals, and the angels are, and other beings are always fighting over them. And so Satan, you know, they're looking for their own portal entrance gateways, whatever you want to call them, so that their beings can get to Earth. These aren't humans running CERN, folks. imagine a bunch of ugly sleestack, reptilian-type beings sitting behind the controls of our airports and our pulpits, governments and our militaries and running everything like they live the movie. That's how it is. We're not being dominated by humans at the top levels. They get replaced. And so that's how they get their knowledge too, you know. I love the fact that right before the guy died, he had announced that, hey, you know what, they live, that movie was a documentary. It wasn't fiction. It was a documentary. And as soon as he was making that known, wouldn't he die of a heart attack? But they've got that heart attack weapon thing out now, you know. I heard years ago from my friend in D.C. that they could cause a heart attack simply by putting a couple of drops of something in your milk, in your fridge. So when you took a drink of it, you could start giving you a heart attack. You could start the process of a heart attack. So this is how they have such easy access to giving people heart attacks. And you know what? I've absorbed so many poisons over the years. I'm just like a walking death bomb as it is. The fact that I'm alive is a very testament to the power of Yahushua. So I don't know day by day if I'm going to live or die. I don't care. If I'm here, I'm doing his will. If I'm dead, then that's his will. Either way, I'm doing his will. I'm in his will. And so I don't worry about it. You know, poison my milk? Just, you know, the thing about that is it makes the milk poison, like, decay a lot earlier than the expiration date. I don't, you typically drink a lot of milk. Sometimes I get the taste for it. I notice they'll do it to creamer. If you drink a lot of coffee, they'll put poison in your creamer. They'll mix some kind of poison in your sugar. I've seen them do that. it's endless. That's why you just can't dwell on what they do, what they're doing. You just focus on the Father, and he takes care of everything else. So, either way, back to my, I wanted to go back, talk about a few pointers that I think people misconstrue. Not that they misconstrue on purpose. Some people, you just don't know. I mean, it takes a lot of people, you know, knowledge to to know what the average people don't know, you know. Now, I know in one spot they'll say the leader of the fallen angels was Semyazah, and others know him as Azazel. Enoch talks about both angels, Azazel and Semyazah. The Jews will call them something else or whatever. Semyazah was probably the original, one of the top ranking of the 200 watchers that fell, the original ranking cherubims that were watchers over the earth. Because Azazel, although he would become their leader because of rank and right, he was the first son of Lilith and Adam, or Lilith and Satan, Lucifer. And so that's why he's Azazel, very high ranking. Of course, he's chained to rocks in outer darkness until the Father releases him. And that's probably one of the things that this LHC is trying to do, is punch a portal for Azazel, because he would be released in the last days along with all of the others that have been confined up until this time. And so they're probably trying to open portals for all of these watchers that have been confined since then. And Azazel being one of them. There's a whole bunch of them. Different ones. People still can't even fathom Lilith being an actual person. See her every night, floating around, flying around her little Galaga ship. And then, you know, when you realize that the first and second heavens, folks, are the first heavens is our air. It's where the birds fly. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is above the clouds. It's the area above the clouds, kind of like higher atmosphere type areas. And the third heavens would be like where the planets are. Second and third would probably include both stars and planets. Your first, second, and third heavens. This is where the bulk of angels reside. They're not residing in a box somewhere far, far away with a bunch of dead people waiting for loved ones to return or to arrive in heaven. That's not the way it is, folks. So just know that they're busy and they're around us. We're surrounded. You know, angels can take on various forms. They can take on bodies of birds, forms of birds. They can take on forms of animals. They can transform, shapeshift, morph, whatever you want to call it. You know, in some of these depictions where it says angel has four faces, I mean, they could probably morph into anyone, any four. I mean, angels can morph into look any way they want to, basically. You know, they can go from an angel with wings to a human. They can take on a human form. There's different jobs, different things that they do. But they're always around us. They're always around us. I saw one standing beside my bed last week, the other day. And well, I had another heart attack. So we're right back in the hospital looking just to heart failure again. It was the most awesome thing I'd seen. And Father had told me it was Michael. But it was huge. It was huge. It was very awesome. because I always see things out of the corners of my eyes, and I know things are around, and I could see the beads of light, and sometimes the light shades, and angels often when they travel, you'll see them like a lightning, like a bead of light or a streak of light. I've seen plenty of that, but to have one standing next to your bed, that was awesome. So, and then that's what he said, they're always around you. And, you know, we're heading into a time in the last days where people are going to start seeing a lot more, I believe, one of angels and one of fallen angels. And so, people need to determine which side they're on. Are you on the side of God of light, or are you on the side of the God of darkness? If you're on the side of darkness, you already know you're on a losing path. They win battles, but they'll never win the war. Anyway, folks, still got bills to pay, things like that to catch up on. So I need your donations. Keep the lights on, the computers on, things like that. Go to my website, SherryTalkRadio.com or SherryShriner.com, and click on the donate link at the top of the pages, and how you can donate to my ministry, or you can send donations to Sherry Shriner, P.O. Box 531, Carrollton, Ohio, 44615. And hopefully I'll get back on the road sometime soon. I've been sidestepped a bit. Just kind of chilling and relaxing now. I guess heart failure will do that to you. Just kind of relaxing for a bit. I'd like to spend more time learning new stuff, you know, sitting at the Father's feet and having him teach me new things that I could teach you guys. So that would be exciting and fun. For me, anyway. Just gives more ammo to all the haters of mine. Hate, and make more videos on hating. But who cares, right? Anyway, until next week, everybody. Yeah, bless.